Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's go get in here. We got 2 hours left of this week. One of the segments going to be spent on what did you learn this week in one sentence? And the other, another segment is going to be with Warehouse Live Guy. So you got time to get in here at 713-780-3776. That's the number. One segment on News of the Weird. We got that. There's a lot of weird stuff going on right now. I mean, really, really weird. And some of it is gross. Really gross. So you want to stay tuned for that. You want to make sure that you're here for the really gross part. That's coming up at about 9:45. Also, want to remind you that you better do it in a hurry because Thanksgiving is around the corner and you got to get to Demeris.com, D-E-M-E-R-I-S.com. Not only do they have the best turkeys with, I'm telling you, the Cajun, the fried Cajun turkey that just doesn't get any better. And they have all the fixings as well. So no matter what you're into, they've got it at Demeris. They'll do the stuffing. They can do everything for you. They'll do everything. So get to Demeris, D-E-M-E-R-I-S.com, Demeris.com. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Rockets in action tonight. They got Portland. Can't wait. Love to watch that. Orlando on Sunday. That will not be. And then you got a little stretch here. We got Orlando on Sunday. Then you got to go to Cleveland. Cleveland is not the same team that they were last year. But did you see Donovan Mitchell? Donovan Mitchell said, I think it's great. I think it's great because we cruised through last year and we got some adversity now, and I really like it. He really likes it, he says, because it's going to make us tougher. And then you got Denver. Oh, my God. Did you see what Big Perk said? Did you see this?
I got something for you on Big Perk, too. What did he say? Did he say Jokic is one of the most overrated centers of all time or something like that?
No, he said just the opposite, as a matter
of fact. Oh, the guy who ended his MVP candidacy 1 year?
Big Perk, you know what? I'm going to get it to Dell.
You remember Big Perk's the same one who said, you can't have him win the MVP. Kobe didn't win it this many times. He can't win it this many times. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Perk.
No, Big Perk, as a matter of fact, said Jokic is making Hakeem Olajuwon's greatest games look just normal.
Delete it. Delete this. Don't play this dumb stuff.
I mean,
we're playing in an era where there's 130 points scored in a game on a regular basis.
Can you believe?
Perk either has to shut Jokic completely out or say, now, statistically, he's right. Statistically, he's right. This has never been done statistically, ever. Like, other than Wilt, maybe? This has never been done statistically, what he's doing, ever, by anyone, any big man ever in the history of basketball.
I do not care. You do not. He's from Beaumont. Mm-hmm. He grew up with the Dream. And you're going to tell me that the Dream's greatest games are just average for Jokic?
Well, statistically.
I don't give a rat's ass statistically or not. You're denigrating the Dream?
Mm-hmm.
No. You don't. You know what? You don't deserve that Beaumont designation anymore.
Ooh, I'm not saying that to Perk. He was born and raised there.
Yeah, is that right? Well, he doesn't deserve it.
Mm-hmm. No. And you, as a native Chicagoan, deserve to tell him that?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Wait a minute.
I've lived longer in Houston than I did in Chicago.
So, oh, well, yeah. But you ain't from Beaumont.
Hold on a second.
And I was right there when the Dream was doing that.
So you can't tell him he can't be from Beaumont.
Well, he got
Port Arthur. Tell Bunn.
He lost his Beaumont
card.
Tell Bunn.
You can't tell people they lost Beaumont cards.
Yeah.
Will you stop? Yeah. That'll get you hurt.
No.
If Steven Jackson hears you say that, even though he's PA, right?
Well, I didn't say Steven Jackson, did I?
No. Bunn, Perk, Steven Jackson, those guys take that golden triangle thing seriously.
Okay, go ahead and slander the dream.
John just pulled his card.
He's not allowed.
Well, then tell him he's not allowed in Houston.
That's it.
You can say that. You can't say he's James Beaumont or whatever. He's not allowed in Beaumont anymore. You can't say that. He's from Ozone.
No, I didn't say he's not allowed
there. He's Ozone. Beaumont, Ozone. I always say Ozone, but you can't say you're not from Beaumont anymore.
Yeah.
You can't tell
him. You lost your Beaumont card.
You can't say that.
You don't have the ability to pull it.
Why are you saying that? You can't pull his card.
No one puts you in a position to pull the card.
Don't be a card puller when you're sitting here. No. When you're sitting in Los Angeles, you can't pull a Beaumont card.
That's all. That's all. Beat it. Beat it. Okay?
Look.
He was just a kid when the historically, dream was dumb. I mean, get
historically, statistically, he's 100% correct. He could say that about anybody. In terms of how the game was played, Dream literally had to work in the low post against double teams. He had to work. It was a slower paced game. Dream had to control the defensive boards with rebounds and shot blocking. It's not even the same sport. Dream didn't start 22 feet from the basket. It's not the same sport. Now, Jokic can play with his back to the basket. Jokic is a phenomenal player. He's just inconvenient because he doesn't look right. His body type doesn't look impressive. He looks like some schmo. Like, he doesn't physically look like you want to be impressed by him. You know, there's nothing cool looking about Jokic. And then he's like 50, 25, and 15. Like, who does that? Those are video game numbers. He's one of the all-time greats that we've ever seen in the sport. With that said, Dream's games, the way he controlled an entire game by himself, unheard of. And on the defensive side, Jokic, not just rebounding, because you got 1-4, you got a bunch of 1-4 sets where all the spacing in the world, you got one guy to rebound. It's real easy when you're rebounding like that. Now go rebound against 7-footers and 6'10 power forwards who are all banging around inside because you didn't have the spacing like that. Totally different sport.
Yeah.
I'm taking his card too.
That's it.
You aren't allowed either.
His card's gone.
Yeah. You can't take
Thank
his
card. You.
He's not allowed. He's got to check in with John now if he wants
he
to go to
does
Houston.
Not have to.
He's got to check in with John if he wants to go to Houston.
Yeah, that's right.
Why? John's not even in Houston.
You still have to check in. You can text him. You can text him.
He has to check in.
He doesn't have to check in with
John, have you officially sold your house yet or not?
Yes.
Okay, then you don't really have property here.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got an apartment.
Yes, I do. I got an apartment there.
He needs to check in with John at his apartment.
And
then check in with JT.
Yeah.
But he's going to have to check in with somebody if he comes here. Yeah.
No one in the Granato family he has to check in with.
He has to check in with JT or John.
Big, big Perk. Denigrating.
Everyone's so sensitive. Of all the things Perk has said, this is the thing. I thought we were at a point where we don't care what he says. Like, it's Perk. You just let that roll off your back because, Perk says
not
something.
When you go
okay,
after,
whatever.
Not when you go after the dream.
He didn't go after the dream.
Went after the dream. He could have said anybody else. Will Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Maybe he holds the dream.
Patrick Ewing.
Maybe he holds dream in a high regard. That's why he said even the dream's numbers and what he does doesn't compare to Jokic because he loves the dream.
Yeah, well, doesn't seem like that to me.
Somebody, Keith, just said, could Jokic bang with Shaq play after play and still produce on the offensive end?
No.
Yes, he could still produce. Shaq couldn't play outside on him. He would score 40 on Shaq every night, and Shaq would score.
They would both foul each other out.
30. Yeah, they would foul each other out. I mean, Shaq would. They'd have to switch. Shaq can't guard him. Shaq cannot guard him. Shaq has to guard somebody else. That's how big of a liability he is in today's NBA. That's why it's a joke. It's two different. You cannot compare the eras. Because Jokic has a better chance of guarding Shaq than Shaq does.
No, but if
Jokic.
Dream came up now,
now Dream could guard
Dream
Jokic.
Would have he had a mid-range jumper already.
Dream is a worse matchup for Jokic because Dream could step outside, and defend. He's got quick hands.
Exactly,
he's long. He would be a much. Shaq is not the worst. Shaq would cause problems for anybody physically. He did. He was the biggest bully that I've ever seen in professional basketball. With that said. He can't step out on Jokic. Jokic would bury him for 40 all game long. Now, Dream is a different topic because Dream can go guard you out there, and now you got to guard Dream down low? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're just, but they're different. They're different eras, played completely differently.
I mean, I mean, they were playing. The Dream was playing when it was 89-84 finals.
Oh, that's a high score sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, you can't. That's just
all kinds of hand checks. The shot clock's getting down to two every possession. It was. And frankly, that was not the best basketball either. And we complain about basketball now. I see guys like, basketball is terrible. I can't watch it now. It's disgusting. It makes me want to throw up all over a child. And then they'll tell you how wonderful it was when there was a billion pounds of hand checking going on, shot clock expiring constantly. It was sheer brutality. I mean, the 90s basketball was not aesthetically pleasing. I loved it because the Rockets won two championships. My all-time favorite player was really good. But from an aesthetic standpoint, those Heat versus Cavs games, or Charlotte Hornets versus Knicks, or Rockets versus Knicks, those were not pretty games. They were gross. But we just happen to have a good team. But 84-78 is not a fun game. That game sucks.
No. All right. You know what's great, though? Burger Chan.
Yeah, it's great. And there were people, including our very own Sean Mapes from the Mopey and Mapes Show, a.k.a. the Pack of Lies, who went downstairs.
Neither of the names are correct.
He went downstairs, and he said, you know what I did? I went to Burger Chan on Monday, and because it was Victory Monday, the Texans won. And so what he did was he went down there, and he got his free side order. He got French. I think he got French fries. I don't think he got sweet potato fries. I think he got French fries. You get a free side order when the Texans win on a Sunday. If they win on a Monday, you get it on a Tuesday. If they win on a Thursday, you get it on a Friday. The very next day. Burger Chan has some of the best burgers you're going to have in the city of Houston. I had some. So they're open from Wednesday to Sunday at night. Not just at lunch. They're open at night, too. So I've got done with my draft stuff on Wednesday and immediately went downstairs. I got a chicken sandwich with fried onion straws, pepper jack cheese. I chose my bun, which is a sweet sourdough bun with bacon on it. It was delicious. It was delicious, I tell you. Now, I didn't get a free. I got a side order, spicy tots. They're my favorites with honey mustard. But I didn't get it free because I didn't come in at the right time. You can get yours free if the Texans win, which they're probably going to this weekend. Going on Monday, whether it's, well, it needs to be lunch, not open for dinner. So stop in and say, go Texan. And from there, you're set up. It's a free, you get a free side order, and take advantage of that. You're already eating a delicious sandwich, fish sandwich, chicken sandwich. They've got incredible hot dogs, great burgers. And it's all available at 5353 West Alabama, right here in the Galleria area in the same building we have our radio show. It's Burger Chan, C-H-A-N, Burger Chan.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm not sure I love A&M laying 19.5 against South Carolina. I mean, the place is going to be on fire. They haven't been there in 5 weeks.
All they do is cover every week.
And now, and they're 9-0, and they're on the doorstep of the playoff. And
supposedly, there's a lot of labor laying against Missouri,
you might get
too.
The South Carolina that what they were supposed to be, not the South Carolina that they are.
Why would you get them now?
Why did you get Penn State last week?
Because Penn State has NFL players. They have first-round pass rushers, and Indiana got the
South
Blues.
Carolina's got better players than they've
South Carolina has shown no signs of life this year.
None.
Penn State
they were supposed
showed,
to be up.
You
got to
remember now, Penn State showed up against Oregon. Penn State showed up against Indiana. They have better players. They have a second round guard. They have first round pass rushers. Like Penn State has better talent this year.
No, Lenora Sellers is better than he's shown so far.
Well, it doesn't matter. How's his offensive line? They're awful. Yeah. That's the problem. Is they have an awful line. I was talking to Cole Kubik about this, and I'm like, man, Lenoris has been disappointed. He goes, not really. He said the offensive line has given him zero chance. Zero chance. He said they've been terrible up to this point. I keep waiting for South Carolina to show up, and then I remember they lost a ton of guys to the draft last year. They lost a bunch of guys. So that's some of it is they just don't have – I just don't think they're very talented this year. Not relative to beating a top flight team. That's a lot of points on the hoof. But A&M keeps covering.
You never know when that team is going to show up. When a better team is going to show up.
I mean,
that's a lot. Now, on the other side, though, it will be electric, that place.
It's a lot to play for at A&M.
A lot to play
for. Well, there's a lot to play for A&M. There's really not much to play for anymore for South Carolina. So we have to see if they – but that's probably built into the line, to be honest with you. That's probably built into the price, I would imagine.
Yeah. Elliot is up next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What do you say, Elliot?
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Friday. I was in Dallas this week talking to stupid Cowboy fans, and the Micah Parsons trade discussion came up, and we just got in-depth on the conversation of paying max money to pass rushers / DNs. And when you lay it out and you look at it, the Micah Parsons, the TJ Watts, the Myles Garretts, they can have their best game, and it really doesn't impact the outcome of the game as much as it does the key positional players on offense. And I think the Cowboys are in a much better position now than if they would have signed him. So I guess my question to you guys is, do you really believe in paying these DNs max money? Like back when the Texans had JJ, he'd have 4 sacks and 2 fumbles and a pick six, and they'd still lose by 4 touchdowns. So I just want to get your feedback on, you know, what your thoughts are on paying these guys $50-60 million nowadays, because their impact, you know, isn't really as predominant other than the stat sheet. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I don't know about $50-60 million. Trey Hendrickson is thought to be the number one guy this year that's coming out in free agency. He's getting older. Not going to get close to that.
So. No, but he's also older, and he's not a freaky. He's a good rusher. He's not a freaky athlete. So there's always concerns.
Yeah, but it's not going to be $50 or $60 million
for a rusher.
Yeah.
No. Rushers aren't making quarterback money. Rushers actually are making quarterback money. Just not.
What was the Texans' record in 2014 when JJ won Defensive Player of the Year?
Oh, it wasn't good. They won seven wins.
Yeah. So, I mean, I agree.
They were 9-7. We established a bar with Bill O'Brien, 9-7.
They don't have the impact that a quarterback does. They don't. The defensive end does not. The perfect Cleveland is the perfect example. I mean, they got the best player, the best defensive end in the league, and they suck. So, yeah.
I also think, you know, it's also
best. You need those guys,
play.
No question. I think the Texans' defense is great, and they've got the best combination.
I think it should be
in
best
the league,
player,
and,
best
yet,
player
and yet they're 4-5.
I think it should be best player. I mean, J.J. Watt, did he win? Yeah, he did win Defensive Player of the Year. He had 29 tackles for losses, 20 and a half sacks. They finished 9-7, but he had an interception, fumble return for a touchdown. He had 5 fumble recoveries, 10 passes defense. His second season is one of the great seasons in the history of football. 39 tackles for losses, 20 and a half tackles for sacks, 16 ridiculous. Passes batted down, 69 solo tackles, which is incredible. Yeah, I mean, JJ, man, JJ had a 4-year run. That was it. JJ had 4 years. He had his rookie season, which was really good. He came on the second half of the season. He had 13 tackles for losses, 5.5 sacks. That's a really good rookie season. But the next 4 seasons, 20.5 sacks, 10.5 sacks with 22 tackles for loss, not as good. Then 20.5, then 17.5. Then it went to 1.5. Then zero. Well, you know, he still had 16. In 2018, he still had 16 sacks. And how many? And 18 tackles for losses. He was still number 2. No, that was comeback player of the year. He was still first team AP. He was a first team AP player, AP first team 5 years with the Houston Texans. to me, he was one of the most dominant players over a 4-year run in the history of the game defensively. If you go look at all the greatest defensive players, the difference between him and Aaron Donald is Aaron Donald's was more sustained.
Yeah, but the thought, the thought is they don't have the impact. They just don't. It as great as that was, I mean, they were good teams. They weren't great teams. When you have a quarterback who's playing great, it's a much bigger deal. I don't
on one side of the ball.
Yeah. Well, but
I mean,
but,
and all JJ can control, and any defense player can control, is the defense side of the ball.
That's all. That's all. I mean, look at the Texans. The Texans are doing unbelievable things defensively. Great, and they're 4-5.
Wait. But JJ,
Myles Garrett is the best player in the best defensive player in the league, and they suck.
But that's not fair to give. Then we cannot give quarterbacks. Then all we're saying is the only thing that matters is offense. Because what happens if a quarterback has great stats but their defense sucks? Then we give them credit for
it.
He's still giving you a chance to overcome. Exactly. Guess what? Average quarterbacks, you can overcome that with a good defense. You can overcome average.
It's rarer, though.
And it's not like the Texans are 4-5 because they haven't had chances to win. They have.
They've had chances to win only because the defense have kept them in it, but the offense was so pitiful.
That's my point.
Right.
The defense gave them a chance. The same way you just said the offense and the quarterback give the other side a chance, the same thing can be true for the defense. And that's what J.J. Watt provided. I bet if I go look at the offense from 2014 when they finished 9-7, and J.J. Watt was Defensive Player of the Year. They were 9-7. They won the division. How did they do it? Well, because Ryan Fitzpatrick was just a hell of a he and Case Keenum. And look at these quarterbacks. Ryan Mallett, Case Keenum, Ryan Fitzpatrick, they won a division with those guys.
You can't explain away Myles Garrett. You just can't.
Yeah, you can. There is no such thing as one player can win in pro football.
That's exactly
one player cannot win.
That was Elliott's point.
Yeah, one player,
and
including a quarterback.
A player.
Including a quarterback. You can have great stats and not win.
Yeah, but it's more likely that you win with a great quarterback than a great defensive end.
But then it's ridiculous. We used to be able to give this award to everybody, and now we just all collectively decide.
We're talking about winning football games and paying players. And
no MVP. I thought he was talking about MVPs.
And quarterbacks are paid.
Well, yeah,
and should be paid.
If we're talking about pay structure, yes,
that's what he was talking about.
But here's the problem with that fundamentally, John. You're talking about five or six quarterbacks that fits. The rest of them are being paid to just be average, and they don't have big impacts on the game. That's really the fact. Is the ones who are great and have the Pat Mahomes impact on the game, they get paid that money, and they deserve it because they impact the game. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, they impact the game. The others don't. Dak Prescott is having no impact on the game. Great stats. He's having no impact on the game. Ooh. Not really.
Yeah, he is.
Not really. What's their record?
Defense is so piss poor.
But that's my point. It takes both. You can't say
what one player. If Micah Parsons was there, they would still suck.
The same thing. Dak Prescott's having a great year. They still suck. It can be true on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, it can be true.
But also have average guys.
Give me the great quarterback over the great defensive end.
Obviously, because they handle the ball all the time. Obviously, they handle the ball all the time. But what I'm saying is average quarterbacks are getting paid like they make incredible plays where all they're doing is just driving the ship. Any other quarterback that was average could do the same thing. I mean, I'm telling you the structure. You already know the structure. There's nothing any of us can do about it.
But how many quarterbacks are average? Because
I think a lot are.
Because we watch football every week, and there are some awful guys.
I think Jared Goff is above average.
Well, I'm not.
Which is good. Which is good. So I think above average is good in the NFL.
I get what you're saying. Why is Trevor Lawrence we saw on Sunday? Why is he getting paid $50+ million a year to be the quarterback of a team? But for the guys, let's say Jordan Love's not a great example. He's not played well last week. But Jordan Love, you think he's above average? Average? I don't know what you think of him. He's better than, 17 of the other guys? Is that worth the $50+ million a year he's getting when you watch how bad some of the quarterbacks are in this league?
Well, okay, let me ask you this question. You got Michael Parsons, who's one of, if not the best, one of top three defensive ends in the league. Would you rather have Jordan Love or Michael Parsons on your team?
So you have a replacement for each of them.
Right.
So I would say
let's say the replacement is a bad player.
I'd rather have Jordan Love.
I'd rather
the replacement.
Have Jordan Love.
Yeah, if the replacement is bad,
I'd rather have Jordan. I'd rather have Jordan Love than Marcus Mariota.
It is still easier to find pass rushers
and lose Micah.
It's still easier to find pass rushers than quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't know what you.
That's the supply.
Who do
demand.
We consider a bad pass rusher?
But I would say a great pass rusher can cause massive ripple effects on a defense because of what they have to do to game plan. You have to change your protections. You have to change a lot just to account for them. So I think a great pass rusher can have massive implications, and it's even worse if you get an interior guy like Aaron Donald makes it even worse because those guys disrupt from a straight line into the quarterback, and they can have make astronomical differences with preparation for a team. My dad, I've talked to my dad about this before. He just said, when you have one guy who can wreck an entire offensive line, especially if a team moves them around, which is your biggest nightmare as an offensive line coach, is they move them to your weaknesses. They used to do that with JJ at one point, and then they stopped doing it because I think, frankly, JJ just wanted to stay in one place. That's a real, real problem when you have that going on. They get paid second highest to quarterbacks. That should tell you something.
Yeah. All right. And left tackle. We got a break. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, I want to talk right now about Champion Energy. I want to talk about your electricity. I want to talk about how you're getting it. I want to talk about how much you're paying. I want to talk about the kind of service that you get. I want to talk about, how much are you paying every single month? It doesn't matter how cold it's going to get this winter. You're paying your electricity bill is your electricity bill, okay? Pay less. Get the service of Champion Energy. Pay less, because I had for years and years, and I loved my relationship. My relationship with Champion Energy was I pay their bill every month, and they get me electricity. That was it, okay? Never had any issues whatsoever, and I felt like I knew I was saving money. I knew I saved tens of thousands of dollars because I switched to Champion Energy. You will too. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Chris has been waiting. Let's get him in. Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Hey, last week I was watching ESPN when the Rockets were on, and Big Perk was on. And then they brought Kenny Smith on, and it kind of pissed me off because Kenny was glazing Big Perk and taking selfies with him. And I just wanted—I got an argument with a buddy of mine. I don't know if you guys think this way, but Big Perk to me is kind of like the ball sack sports of commentators. Like every time he says something, it really like pisses me off. I put him in a category with Dan Orlovsky and Ryan Clark, and I just wanted to hang up and see what you guys thought about that.
I just think he's wrong on a tremendous amount of stuff. I don't think it's very well thought out, to be honest with you. And I just a personal opinion, I think there are loads of former NBA players who could be doing a much better job in that role. That's just a personal preference. He doesn't make me mad. He has in the past. I don't love him. I don't think he really adds anything. He's just kind of a hot take artist and it's not intentional. I just think he has some things he says that I just think, why would you say that?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't listen to Big Perk. I don't know. I think he tries to have a lot of hot takes.
Intentional?
I think Orlovsky really – I think Orlovsky breaks down a lot of stuff. It's pretty good. Ryan Clark is a hot take artist too. And he's a – and I feel like a lot of stuff he's trying to – rabble rouse. He's trying to, I don't know.
He's a muckraker, a rabble rouser, a yellow journalist.
Yep. That's what I think.
Do you know Perk created a company? I was told, I didn't know this, and it's real. He created a company called Nilly, N-I-L-L-Y. He's co-founder. And what they do is give advances on NIL earnings. Listen to this. It's very predatory. It's the same concept, similar concept to what the baseball guys do with the Latin American players. They will give you your NIL. They will evaluate you and give you money in advance, but they get, I want to say the number is 25% of your earnings for the next 4 years, of all earnings for the next 4 years. Rev share, NIL, all of it. They'll give you money in advance, but they own 25% of you for the next 4 years. And if you play 3 years of college, 1 year of pro, they get 25% of that pro of that first year of pro football too. And that's a real thing that's happening right now, because this guy was telling me about that. He was having to deal with players who are struggling because they gave away, like they want to renegotiate everything because they gave a bunch of money away to this Nilly, because it's, like I said, it's a kind of a predatory lending. And you remember Tatis and Scott Boras
did that.
They're trying to get rid of that in baseball, but it's legal. I mean, if you still choose to take that loan, it's on you.
Yeah.
But that's something I'd never heard of, this company. And this guy pointed me in that direction. I looked at the website and I said, I'll be damned. There's Kendrick Perkins right there on the front, on the front cover. And they give loans and they say, we'll give you some money now, but we get 25%. We own 25% of you for the next four years.
That's called loan sharking.
Yes. That's all I could think of was, that's literally, I've seen this on TV.
Yeah.
And it's usually not looked at very kindly, but you also don't want to get indebted to the person that's willing to give you that loan. Look, good. You don't take the money. You're going to be in his pocket. You're going to owe him. You know, you never wanted to take that loan. You never wanted to. Why would you do this? Why would you take the loan from Big Perk? Now he owns 25% of our family.
Now you can't get out. You can't get out.
Now you just can't get out for 4 years.
All right. Who's next, Al? Josh. What up, Josh?
Hey, good morning again, gentlemen. Once again, love the show. Love y'all's humor. Lance, you were touching on JJ Watt earlier, in the show. And I wanted to bring that back a little bit, because there's ways to make comparisons of JJ Watt to Lawrence Taylor. And I think we overlook how good J.J. Watt was at times. And I love you guys, and have a great day.
Yeah. Lawrence Taylor did it longer. Lawrence Taylor won championship.
He did it on crack and cocaine. Did it on,
yeah, I mean,
now,
Lawrence Taylor was,
you know,
in a different world.
Different people have different extras.
I mean, different motivations. Crack could be a motivator.
That's actually incredible that he did this on speed and crack. He was you want to talk about doing it longer, John? He was an AP. He was Defensive Player of the Year three times, as was JJ. Mm-hmm. He was first team All AP eight times in his career. But yes, he was man nice. For a long time. Now he missed a lot of games too, though.
Yeah.
He missed some games, but yeah, he was maniacal. Well, you know, crack.
Yep. Yep.
Crack cocaine.
No.
He was maniacal. He was also on crack cocaine.
Yeah.
Getting sacks on crack.
Who was
smoking coke, getting sacks? That's tough to do. I can't remember what all his issues were. I just know this guy was he's considered, to this day, people look at him as like the most disruptive pass rusher of all time. Some of that is maybe a little romanticized. I think there's been other pass rushers who have been equally devastating. His sack numbers are good, but it's not, you know, 11, 5, 13, 12, 15. Now, they didn't throw as much back then either.
So, Lawrence Taylor played one more year than JJ.
Although you did get a lot of seven-step drops back then.
Yeah, down the field, less check down stuff. So, Lawrence Taylor played 13 years. JJ played 12. The difference is games played. JJ missed big chunks of multiple seasons where he only played 3 and 5 and 8 and 7. Lawrence Taylor, the most games he missed in a year, it looks like, is 7 or so. Or
82
actually
was,
six.
82 is a lockout.
Yeah, so I'm not even counting that. Like, at the end of his career, he missed 7 games in 1992.
He missed 2 here, 4
So the sack numbers are going to outpace JJ. Probably a lot has to do with the fact that JJ just missed big chunks of seasons because of injury.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and JJ played inside a lot, and
it's harder to get sacks inside.
Yeah.
It's harder to get them when you have the 3-step drop. It's harder to get them when you have quick passing game.
Yep.
I would argue that Lawrence Taylor, they threw less, so there's less snaps. There's also 5 and 7-step drops were pretty much all you had.
Yeah.
Back then, and so the pocket's deeper. It's harder to protect for tackles. It's easier for Lawrence Taylor to get in there and disrupt too.
Yeah.
That's why the comparing the eras thing, like if you just know your sports history at all and know how games were played, it's just baseball, home run numbers. It's just different now than it was when you had cavernous 385 feet to left field fence, you know, short game, 420 to center field. You have to put in context the way the games were played, what the parks look like in baseball. It's just vastly different in eras.
To me, yeah, you don't compare Babe Ruth to
Shohei.
Even Shohei.
Yeah.
Because Babe Ruth was so far ahead of everybody.
It was the dead ball era. The ball was heavy.
It was it's unbelievable how good he was, relatively speaking. He had more home runs than teams had.
Mm-hmm.
He had more. So you can't even. And so Shohei's numbers are incredible and unbelievable, but nothing like what Babe Ruth was, relatively speaking to the rest of the league. I mean, and even as great as Shohei is, he's not even close to what Babe Ruth was compared to the rest of the league. We got a break. We got to talk HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. I really think that you're going in on a Friday morning into your business. You're headed toward the weekend. You know, are you trying to make your business as good as it could possibly be? Okay, because if you are, then maybe you should give HRP a shot. Let them come and just break down what you're doing business-wise. It doesn't take long. They won't be intrusive. They can tell you what they can do for you and how they can do it better for you, and your business can be better. And I mean, it's not like, oh, well, you go with HRP, you're stuck for it. No. See if it's better for you. And it should be the same way if you're with some admin company now. You know what? They ought to be able to say, hey, you know what? HRP could do it better. I mean, they won't admit that, that's for sure. But what's more important, that you stay with that admin company and not upset the apple cart, or you do your business better? You do your HR better. You do your payroll better. You do your taxes better. You have better 401k and insurance packages. What's more important? The most important thing is making sure that you're successful business-wise, and HRP is going to help you get there. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. Give them a try.
So Billy Brown over at Aqueduct Plumbing Company, he wants you to know that if you got the winter coming up, right? We've had a couple of big freezes over the last, 5 years, and two of them that were pretty substantial. One was a crusher. And it caused a lot of broken pipes, and Billy Brown and his multiple crews had to go out same day or the day after and get out there and start dealing with water turnoffs, and because people were having water in their home outside, and it was a big mess. If you've got old galvanized steel pipes, they're definitely going to erode. Mine did. I had to have a complete repiping job. Billy and those guys will come out. They will burrow under the home and get all the pipes changed out for you so that you don't have any issues now or in the future. But here's the kicker. If you get a complete repiping job done with Aqueduct Plumbing Company, they're going to throw you a standard hot water heater, not tankless, but they're going to throw you a standard hot water heater, which can be a little expensive. They're going to throw it in for you free, and they're going to install it for you for free. They're giving this to you for free when you get a repiping job done. So if you know that you have an older home and you may have some leaks, have Aqueduct Plumbing Company come out there and repipe your home and get a free water heater in the meantime. That's what you can do at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Jeremy and Joe, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Your Houston Cougars are 8-2 and looking to cap off an incredible season. If you want to be there Saturday, November 22nd at TDECU Stadium when the Cougs take on TCU for Senior Day, and you need to grab that senior bundle as well. It's two tickets and a parking pass for just $40, and help us send out the seniors in style. Don't miss the final home game of the season and your chance to celebrate an unforgettable year of Cougar football. Get your tickets now at uhcougars.com/senior day or by calling 713-GO-COUGS. So you have your chance that way. We're going to give you a chance at 9 o'clock. Caller 4 at 9 o'clock wants a pair of tickets to see the Cougs versus TCU for Senior Day. Cougs 8-2, trying to get to 9-2 and celebrate those seniors who have helped a remarkable turnaround. So caller 4 at 9 o'clock.
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday. Shout out to tomorrow.
No. Next Saturday.
Next Saturday. By the way, shout out to Burger Chan, who I mentioned earlier. They were just named in top 100 restaurants in Houston.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The top 100 list from the Chronicle came
really
out.
Really good.
Burger Chan just was at the top of that list. There's a new food writer, Allison Cook, retired, let's say a year ago. Maybe it's 2 years now, but she retired, and there's a restaurant that I really want to get to called Aga, A-G-A. It's Pakistani food. Supposed to be, like, phenomenal. Really, really good. But I was at dinner last night over at Squabble. And Justin Yu is part owner of that, and he's a big Texans fan, by the way. And I was talking about, you know, LSU, because Matt, who's a listener, and who we were there with him and his girlfriend and Chris and his girlfriend and me and my wife. And he was talking about a little bit about LSU and the LSU situation. He's like, Governor Landry's such an idiot. I mean, can you imagine having a governor step in and be the voice of a university? That is not an ideal situation. Like, oh, great, here comes the governor telling us what we're going to do. This is not what we love doing. But I was just asking, like, what's it been like being an LSU fan? It's like, you know, it's terrible. It's been terrible this year. There was so much higher expectations for the team. I think that when you have high expectations, like, I don't feel like this season could go sideways for the Rockets. You know, there's always injuries, but aside from injuries, like the Astros, did you feel like the season went sideways for the Astros? They didn't make the playoffs at all. They were competitive when they probably shouldn't have been. But with all the injuries that they suffered and things like that, was last year a disappointing season for you for the Astros?
No.
It wasn't?
Nope.
I can't decide if it was or not, because I feel like it was officially the end of an era. Like it was a funeral season.
I don't believe that either.
You don't think so?
Nope. I think they still got a lot of talent, and I think they're still that Jim. As long as Jim Crane is, and they still got a.
You think they have a lot
one of the best lineups?
You think they have a lot of talent
when they're healthy? They're going to have as good a lineup as anybody in baseball.
Do you think they have a lot of talent? I mean, I would argue that one of those guys, Christian Walker, is 34, and that's when the decline started happening for Abreu. If you go look statistically, so there's no guarantee that Christian Walker is going to do anything, but decline. He could be in the decline stage of his career. So I'm not sure on him. Altuve's getting older. I like Pena fine. I think Pena's obviously on the up. I mean, Pena's going to be he's got a chance to be a star.
And again, it depends on how healthy they stay.
Well, that's been a major issue the last few years.
I think if Cam Smith has a good offseason, Cam Smith can, and again, he was Cam Smith told by Dana Brown, you ain't got a job here for sure.
So where do you think all this talent compared to the other teams that went deep in the playoffs? You compare them to those teams talent-wise?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Who are your pitchers?
Absolutely do. Well, that's okay. I mean,
that's a big part of it. Who's your five?
Allegedly, Verlander's coming back.
I don't care. He's 41.
Maybe Dylan Cease will be here.
So you're counting guys that aren't even – you're counting a 41-year-old and a guy who's not even on the roster.
Yeah, right.
I mean, how do you think they have
I believe they will do things, yes.
You believe that will they will win?
I don't believe they will just go,
you believe
okay.
that they will win?
Yes.
U.S. men's?
I believe.
Yes.
I believe that they will win.
I don't know. I'm not going to count guys that aren't on the roster. I'm definitely not counting 40-year-olds. I look at this and I'm like, I'm not sure on Cam. I'm not sure Christian Walker is going to – magically right the ship at 34. Altuve's getting older. You can't keep Yordan healthy.
I love Paredes.
Carlos is good. I like Isak Paredes.
I like Carlos.
I like Pena.
I think Cam Smith is with a year now.
But you're saying he didn't even have a starting job locked in.
No.
That's very speculative.
No.
And then you don't have starters right now. I mean, it's concerning to me where this team is relative to being one of the top teams in the American League. It's really concerning because I don't see it on the roster like you do. I mean, I think they have a competitive team. I'm not saying they're not competitive, but I worry that we're speculating on a rookie, a guy coming off a rookie season where he kind of flamed at the end of the year, an oft-injured outfielder, and then an aging Jose Altuve, and then, you know, there's some pieces I like, obviously. And who's the other outfielder at the end of the year who played really well? Young guy. I'm blanking out. The young outfielder who played really well, who came in and played better than Cam Smith. I'll think in a second. Young outfielder who played in right field, who Cam Smith legitimately lost some ABs to him.
The left hander.
This is your job to come up with this when I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember.
This is your job to do this.
I can't remember stuff either, if you want to know the truth. Not Taylor Trammell.
No.
Jacob Melton.
Yeah, Melton.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, not Melton. Melton's not who I'm thinking about. Who am I thinking about?
No one knows.
Maybe I'm thinking of nobody. Maybe they don't have anybody.
No.
I'm looking through the like who am I talking about? Melton had some moments. Actually started slow and he came on, yeah. And I mean, you know, that 419 OPS ain't gonna scare too many people.
No, but he started slow. Oh, Zach Cole.
Yeah, Zach Cole. That's what I was thinking of. Zach Cole. You know, 880 OPS. I'm thinking of Zach Cole.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's only 52 plate appearances. I mean, it's a little light, but he was good when he played.
Yeah, he came up and hit a homer right away as soon as he came up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Bryce Matthews is considered Bryce Matthews. You really are dependent upon Cam becoming a player, a really good player, a core player, a very good player. Let's face it. He needs to become a very good player. Paredes is only 26 years old. We got a long run with Paredes. I felt like he was older. He's only 26. Bryce Matthews is a pretty highly rated prospect. So that gives you, that gives you some hope. It's just Altuve's 35. Walker's 34. JV is 42 next year. Turns 42, I think. That's a lot to hope that they keep on keep playing well. So I don't know. Rockets are not disappointed. The Texans. No, this has a chance to be a disappointing season for sure. We're trending into really disappointing season.
This is a disappointing season already.
It is. It is. I mean, even if you beat the Titans, which you're supposed to, you go 5-5. Like,
and now you got,
you know, you if you have a losing season
that you're going to be underdog.
Their over-under was 9.5 wins. So, would you say 9 wins is disappointing? Yeah, you'd be disappointed, but Vegas thought they were on the cusp of 10-9, somewhere in there.
Yep.
If you finish with 8, that's a really disappointing season. We'll see how competitive they are down the stretch.
All right, 713-780-3776. We got Houston Potter Coders to talk now. We got Justin, we're going to play Beat the Warehouse Live Guy. And we've got What Did You Learn This Week on the Show? What did you learn this week on the show in one sentence? You guys were good at it last week. You guys did good last week. Let's see if you can do it again this week. You guys are great on Mondays. Great on Mondays. Fridays have been iffy. But let's see if you can do it. What did you learn this week on the show? In one sentence. I learned a while ago that Houston Powder Coaters and Robin are just awesome at what they do. Five star quality. It's always people are lauding what they do for them. And if you're some 5-star Google reviews, 5-star everything, the Houston Powder Coaters is the best at what they do. If you are somebody that needs powder coating for whatever reason, and listen, I've seen it. You buy new patio furniture, send it right to Houston Powder Coaters, have them powder coat it before you even put it in your backyard, and it's going to last, I can't say forever, but it's going to last a long time, and it's going to protect that patio furniture. So, you know, you can, brand new stuff, you can powder coat. Or, you know, if it's looking a little shungad now, it's been around a little while, or it's your parents, and they passed it down to you, and you want to pass it down as well, Houston Powder Coaters can save that stuff. And, by the way, the metal in those in that patio furniture is much better. Doesn't matter what metal it is, Houston Powder Coaters here for you. They are going around the city. The city has hired them to make the city look great for the World Cup. When the World Cup comes here, if the city's hiring them, why aren't you? HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Whatever it is that you have metal that you need powder coated, HoustonPowderCoaters.com.